Okay, yeah, so it's just office hours tonight. Did both of you get that memo? I want to make sure that that was
Yes.
transferred. Okay, cool. And Jess, thanks for following up to clarify the time. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so office hours, I'm basically here to answer any questions or brainstorm anything with you ladies, or if you want to utilize each other or anybody else that joins to shop anything or brainstorm anything, we can all do that together. So let's see, do either of you have anything pressing or any questions that you're bringing to the call tonight?
I do have a question about letterhead. When you have forms for people to do, do you have to have a formal one, or is it just fine to have your logo at the top of the page? Or yeah, or on the cover page, depending on what kind of things you got going on.
Yeah, that's a good question. Can you give me an example? Is there anything specific that you're working on?
So the just the like I did the welcome packet, but I just put my logo in the middle, kind of. But the client and coach agreement, does that need to have a formal letterhead on it?
So when you say letterhead, I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. Are you referring to like legal documents that have the company's name, address, phone number, email, et cetera?
Right. Yeah.
Well, first of all, since you're in pilot phase right now, or not pilot phase, but you're kind of, you're in your first round of getting your business off the ground, I would say it's really up to you and how much time bandwidth you have right now. So if you find yourself with either personally some extra time or some extra financial resources to hire somebody to create some branded assets and documents for you or templates, it's a great thing to do. It really does convey professionalism. And so I would say if you can, great. If you can't, it's totally okay to bootstrap. In fact, like a lot of my documents are still like Vaughn Miller Coaching as the letterhead. And then, yeah, it's nothing super fancy at this moment. It's actually, there's another set of those templates being created right now, which is exciting. But it's really up to you and your aesthetic. And it actually is really easy, so much easier these days than it's ever been to create something really beautiful. And like professional Canva is a great resource for that. But you could even do something in Google Docs that looks pretty good. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, does that answer your question? I don't know if that was a specific enough answer.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah, I'm probably just gonna go with the logo then that's on my website for right now and just put it at the top of the page and like in the header. Is that cool?
Yeah, I
Rather
think so. So
than
as long as
oh, you
somewhere in
froze.
your
Oh, okay.
documentation with your whatever onboarding materials you're having them work on, as long as somewhere in there it does have your business address, like your formal business name, business address, and contact information, as long as that's
Okay.
there somewhere, I think that's good. But if
Okay.
you have like, for example, if you have multiple contracts or if you have multiple documents, you may want to put it on each of those just for consistency and context.
Okay. All right. Cool.
What are your thoughts around that, Jess? I know that you've had a
Thank
lot of experience with contracts and things like that. Do you have any feedback, Jessica?
I think it's definitely helpful to have like the identifying information and contact information
Okay.
that's like easily visible. So I don't know to the extent that you're contemplating, but address, phone number, ways to reach you, I think are really helpful just
Okay.
in general, maybe.
Cool. Okay. So it's on the, all of that information is on the welcome packet. You think it should be on the contract also somewhere? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great question. Cool. How about you, Jess? And by the way, ladies, Ren RSVP'd, so she might be joining us, but if it's just the three of us, like feel free to utilize as much or as little of this time as is useful for you. So
Okay.
yeah.
Thank you. Cool.
How are you doing, Jess? How are things going for you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Element 4 is definitely, as I said, a doozy to go through. And so the question that I wanted to kind of raise today is, I'm having trouble like identifying the line between, like in my mind, an MVP is like super minimal. It's a little bit like trial and error. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm going through a lot of these questions that are in element four about my market and what their wants and desires are, there's like a big part of me that's like, well, I don't know until I actually put the MVP out there and get that feedback. And so how should I think about like where the line is between doing this endless research all the time and then actually putting something out there? Because I feel like I'm in this point where I've been thinking about this for so long.
Yeah.
So long. And I just want to get something started. In order just to even like make myself feel like I'm making progress, even if it's totally super preliminary.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much for that question. That's, first of all, really a very relatable kind of quandary or place to be at, where it's like, when does the research kind of formally end and you put the thing out into the world to test it? And I think there's a lot of variables there and a lot of, you know, it's very circumstantial. So what I will say, or maybe I'll ask you a few questions to kind of better gauge where you're at, and then I'll have more succinct feedback. So tell me about what you have so far in terms of your market or your audience or ideal client. Like, are you clear about who they are? Are you still kind of researching who they might be?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I kind of characterize it in my head for myself is like this occasional REI customer that is interested in, you know, being outdoors and spending money on outdoor experiences, but they're not super intense about, you know, being outside. They don't already have this preset community of friends where they're, you know, going rock climbing or, you know, into some more advanced activities. People that like, and specifically the REI Chicago store, you know, like they live in the city and they don't have a lot of exposure to already, you know, being in those places just by where they live.
Awesome. All right. Okay. And where are you at right now with your MVP, or what's shaping up to look like your MVP?
So right now, I think my MVP, I would like it to be offering itinerary planning services as a start, because I think that will give me a good sense as to what people are interested in, what they know about already. I'll be able to discover that like through interactions with them. And then also it'll help me to continue building out my own inventory of resources as I do that work. So it's, to me, in my mind, it's kind of like a win-win that I can implement like just myself without too much like third-party assistance on different offerings.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's brilliant. It seems like it tackles like a couple of really beneficial parts of testing things out. So I like that. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about your MVP insofar as the, like, what is it? Is it a website? Is it flyers? Is it, how are you getting this out into the world? If you've gotten to that point yet.
Yeah. So how I'm going to get it out there, not 100% sure of what like my marketing methods would be yet. I would like to like start up a blog on my website and link like social media back to there to get some attention. And then I guess just kind of like starting with my own network of people that are, that like fit the criteria that I'm looking for. And then also something that is on my list to do is to start like joining communities that already cater to that audience so that I can become part of that network and expand that way as well.
Awesome. Right. All right. So it sounds like, when you said blog, did you say your personal blog or the blog for the brand or your business?
For on the business website.
On the business website. Okay. So would you be, I just want to make sure I'm clear on like what the MVP actually is. So is it the finding out if there's an interest in itineraries by kind of talking to your network and joining communities? Are you gauging interest at this point, or will you be actually offering a couple of itineraries to see if people are interested? What's that looking like?
Yeah. So in terms of like what the, I don't know, like the ladder of offerings would be, like whatever would be the freebie or giveaway to get people interested, I probably would start with some like free itinerary planning services for like the super early contacts that I have, just to see if it's something that works in itself and whether they appreciate it in the end.
Okay. Do you have a few itineraries already created?
I have been kind of like documenting all of the places and the benefits that, that I've experienced so far and that I have on my list to continue researching for myself. So I definitely have resources to create an itinerary, but I haven't yet, that's a good question. I haven't yet like put together something kind of like formal, and I haven't put together what that template would look like.
Okay. Yeah, cool. And what are you wanting to learn in this first testing phase?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I really want to learn is whether or not I'm answering the right need, or whether this is the right solution for the need, or like, first, I love the Mind Meister suggestion that you gave, because that mind map has been fun to play with. But I have I have a whole bunch of ideas of services or whatever that I could eventually like integrate into the business. But in terms of, there you are. Are you still there?
Okay. Yep, I'm here.
Sorry, I'm just trying to think. Oh, yeah. I have this. I mean, I have a whole bunch of ideas of things that I could eventually like incorporate into the business as it builds up. But I guess I just want proof that, you know, aside from my own personal conversations with people, that there is sufficient need in this area that would provide enough value for me to make this a viable business.
Okay. Awesome. So, and I'm getting granular here just because it's important.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Bear with me. So you're wanting to validate, it sounds like, wanting proof that this is something that people actually want and need and will pay for, so that you can monetize it and kind of build from that. So when we're talking about the it that you're validating, is the it like validating that there is a desire for pre-created itineraries for what's available in one's like geographic location that are like easily available to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That, and also that the problem that I believe is out there that I experience, but it's my own experience. And it's like, you know, I know other people that need this as well, but it's not like, you know, I have like a list of 100 people that have like checked off and been like, yes, this would be great if you have this. You know, I talk to people about it and I almost always get really positive feedback, but like, it doesn't mean anything to me until like someone really kind of signs on for it, because whatever they say to my face is usually, you know, in a polite setting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I'm grateful that you realize that even if we get 100 yeses from a community, even if it's like a random sample, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to convert into like monetarily. So it's, yeah, it's really good to be as objective as possible until it's validated. So I really appreciate that you're aware of that. So tell me about this problem that exists that you face, that you want to solve, scratching your own itch, but also that you believe other people have as well.
Tell you about it in what way?
So there have been, and this is awesome, but there have been a few different ideas that you've had for Beautiful Midwest and like what, you know, kind of where you're going. And I just want to make sure that I'm like up to date and current on the most recent problem that you are aiming to address, so that I'm clear about what the MVP would be directed toward. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So up to date. So the business name is Rec Region, and it is a regional recreation resource for Chicagoans who want to find their way to play outside.
Nicely done, girl. That was amazing. Kim, did you just hear that pitch? That was great.
Yeah. Go play. Do one for Ohio.
Yeah.
All right. Next on the list.
I am actually looking for things like that. I've been on Meetup trying to see where, you know, the places out here are. So
awesome.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That is nice.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. That was beautiful. That rolled off your tongue so naturally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you intended it to be like that, but I was like, I'm sold.
Thank you. I got some practice practicing that at that startup boot camp during the networking stuff. So
good for you.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to take a pause and like acknowledge that you just stated your business name and the what of your business with like ease and confidence.
Yeah.
And flow. And that's fucking huge, Jess.
It is.
It's a really big deal. Okay.
It took a long time to get there. So.
But it sounds and feels really solid as I'm listening to it. I understand what it is. I understand the problem that you're aiming to address or the need that you're aiming to address. And the name definitely aligns with that. So great job so far. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So how to validate if people will want, need, and use this service and pay for it. So I would say that insofar as element four, kind of circling back to your question about that, you're pretty far along in that process. Like you've been working on this for a long time. So perhaps a lot of element four you've already done. And I totally hear you that you're like itching to actually test something out in the real world. I would say that it sounds to me like you're pretty ready to do so, to create an MVP. And it might be actually, how specific are you or how clearly are you about the markets that you're wanting to test this in? For example, you had mentioned like other communities or groups, like where are you planning on finding the people to test this on?
Well, actually a lot of my former colleagues are kind of my ideal client. So, and they keep reaching out to me asking what's going on. So,
Sweet.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So that's a good place to start. But also I mentioned REI earlier as like an ideal customer proxy, and they have outdoor events all the time that I could sign up for. And as I've been researching women that like support and engage in the outdoors as kind of inspiration for my alter ego as well. I have been discovering like different communities there. So looking deeper into which like participants are in the area, hopefully there's some that I can reach out to and test the waters with them as well.
Terrific. Okay. So we've got former colleagues, we've got REI events and related activities, and then you're also looking into groups of women who also enjoy the outdoors and are aligned with those interests. Cool.
Yep.
All right. So in running, like in testing this out, how do you imagine that you would approach and deliver your MVP or gauge interest?
So for like my former colleagues where I have all their contact information, I was thinking about sending an update email and then kind of putting the offer in there that if they're interested in like seeing what I'm up to or following along, you know, they can go to the website, and then if they're interested in participating in a trial service, they can do that as well, because I know them and I would love for them to try it for free if they're willing to support. Cool. So that would probably be my first outreach, and then I would see how that goes and then kind of see how it needs to evolve from there for the other directions. I'm not super clear, honestly, about the other directions yet, what that would look like.
Okay, great. So starting with a testable population that you already have on hand, you can contact them. You have their permission to do so. That's great. So when you say that you would, that they would be able to sign up for like a trial service, what would that look like for them?
So then I would offer to create an itinerary for them. They would be able to, give them a code or something to put in that at any time that they are interested. And at that point in time, I would offer, I'm not exactly sure whether it would probably be 2 to 3 itineraries to choose from after filling out a survey of like, you know, what they're interested in and where they've been before, and what they're looking to experience anew.
Great. Okay. So in terms of we're kind of talking about a funnel here, so I might use that word. I might throw that in here. So the funnel would be an outreach update email to your former colleagues that would then kind of update them, invite them to check out your website and that you're doing kind of your beta launch. And then if they're interested that they can sign up and they can be part of your trial service, and the deliverable there would be that you would send them a survey. They would let you know what they were interested in. I'm making assumptions here. they would let you know what they're interested in, and then you would send them 2 to 3 itineraries and see how that goes.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Tell me about the survey that you would send them that would then inform the itinerary.
So it would need to know, how much time they have available, when they are planning to spend time outside, what checking off boxes of different activities that they're interested in participating in, what their modes of transportation would be, if they would be interested in additional services such as like having a picnic lunch brought to them, if they need any sort of transportation support getting to and from any location that might be a little bit outside of public transportation zones, if they have dogs, if they have children that they're planning on bringing, and just like maybe some quick notes on like some great experiences that they've had outside or terrible experiences that they've had outside that they're looking to either repeat or avoid.
Beautiful. Okay. These are terrific question points. Well done. So it's, and by terrific, I don't mean just because I like them. It sounds like this would validate the, not only inform the itinerary that you're creating, but it would validate that they are, that they have these needs. So in like a variety of different ways. So that's great. Okay. So as far as you've shared, it sounds to me like your test audience being your former colleagues, you already have their contact information. You already have a funnel, a way to get them from that initial email to your actual trial service. Have you already drawn up the survey?
Is that already? No, I have not.
Okay. All right. So that's something that I would recommend that you have. I believe that the survey is really a huge part of what you're testing here, because you're kind of testing a few things by providing that. You're testing if people are actually like willing to take the time to fill it out. And then you're also, like you said, you're able to glean a lot of information from that survey as well, like what their interests are, what kinds of like areas and parts and needs there might be. So that's going to be really helpful for you to know like what the more popular kinds of like needs are. And it can also be like this survey, I'm going to think a little outside the box now, but I'll circle back. With this survey, you can also use Facebook ads to promote this survey, which I think is going to be a very affordable and terrific way for you to actually test this even more. So because you're using your locality, like Chicago area, your geographic region is much narrower than the United States, which is great because that means that your Facebook ad marketing dollars are going to be more bang for the buck. And so even if on Facebook ads you did like, you know, people who follow REI, people who follow, you know, whatever, Lululemon, whatever those brands are in the Chicago area, who work for corporate, like you can really get pretty specific in Facebook ads. And then you can actually test the survey as an interactive MVP. So you can send people to the site, and then on the site you have, you know, you can have the survey of like, you know, enter, this is, I'm not going to language this correctly right now, but basically like fill out this survey, let us know what you would be interested in or what kinds of itineraries you'd be interested in, and we will send you a free itinerary a month for a year, right? Or we'll send you a free itinerary in the next couple of weeks. So it's, or right away, right? Maybe you have three pre-made itineraries that kind of match each respondent's, generally matches each respondent's feedback. So if they want like, you know, water-based activity or a mountain-based activity or like, you know, mountain biking or whatever. So that would be amazing too. So you can use it on your former colleagues, but then you could also start to drive traffic through your funnel through Facebook ads or otherwise. I mean, you can use Google, you can use other things as well. But I think that survey it sounds like a really key piece of the MVP. And from that survey, you'll be able to aggregate, you know, demographic information, psychographic information. If you use Facebook ads, you know, you can find out like how old are the people who are filling this out? What are their income ranges? Like, are they married? Are they not? There's like so much creepy stuff you can learn from that. But so circling back with keeping it with your colleagues. So directing them to that survey with some kind of an immediate reward of like, you know, fill out this survey and we'll send you an itinerary based on your responses. And that way you can keep the engagement going with them. And they can let you know like, oh, this itinerary looks cool, but I actually can't, you know, I can't drive that far, whatever it is. So all of that being said, I think that you've got a good enough set of, I mean, once you create this survey, I think that you've got enough to start testing.
Yeah. That is cool.
Okay. We just dug in pretty deeply. What question?
Right. I was listening to your questions that you were asking, and I was like, oh, that's a goal. Oh, I never thought of that. Like the transportation there, you know, if it's not public transportation, like if they're taking their pets with them, like I started really feeling like, oh my gosh, I kept imagining a park and like hiking, because I'm looking for like some people who hike in Ohio. It's nowhere near me. But so when you were saying that, I was like, oh, those are good questions. You know, because if I'm a young lady and I'm going by myself, maybe I don't want to drive my car, you know, or, you know, if I'm meeting a friend there, you know, maybe I don't want to. And the picnic lunch, I thought, oh my gosh, that would be great if somebody could do that. So I'm like into it. So it was, I mean, like you already have questions to make people think, okay, what kind of outdoor experience do I really want? You know, because I'm not a person that is often outside. So to, you know, the different things that you're offering, like, oh, wait, I could get that. Like, wait, you know, so that would definitely provide an experience that that person might not have initially thought when they were coming to you. So no, I really like it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Kim. That really helps a lot to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you're ready.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So, okay.
So that means I have to stop procrastinating.
Yes.
You're like, Fawn, I don't want to dive all the way to element 4 because I'll get stuck there. And you're like, but I want to get stuck.
Right.
I feel you.
Scary.
Yeah, because I mean, your questions are like ready. And she was talking about putting them on Facebook. I'm like, yeah, that's the, I mean, not the simple part, but I mean, your questions, you already have those like very specific, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, you should stop procrastinating.
Okay, that's next on the list. I'll have to go find a module to help with that.
Oh, you know I've got one.
I know you do.
Oh, man. Actually, just a quick reference point. Do you remember it was a group call where we talked about the, what I call it, the gas tank, the give a shit? Give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So you just got to like fill that baby back up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as time goes on, that give a shit factor definitely gets higher. So.
Awesome. So. you know, what this has me thinking of, and I think you have your thumb on the pulse of so I know I haven't talked about blue ocean, red ocean in the group or in team yet. Basically what that means, a blue ocean idea is something that hasn't ever been done before. So the iPhone, when it came out, because we don't live in Japan, we had never really seen anything like that. Or the iPod even. It was pretty revolutionary. Like, oh my gosh, this came out of nowhere. This is incredible. And then a red ocean idea or a red ocean market is a market that is so saturated that it's just, it's like inundated, and it's, there's a lot of like generic products around for it. So this is like when you go to the dollar store or there's a lot of things that are red ocean. So as a rule of thumb, it's nice to be blue ocean sometimes, because you be the first one to break into a market, and like, it's a lot harder to test, but it's also, the ROI can be a lot greater. But it's, as a rule of thumb, it's great to be kind of purple, like kind of in the middle, where there's things or companies or markets that pre-exist already, but not exactly the way that you want to do it, right? Or like different enough from the way you want to do it. And as I'm thinking about your current iteration of your business model right now, I'm thinking about Airbnb experiences. They launched that like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, because I book travel all the time, right? So like when I go to book a hotel, when I go to book an Airbnb, I check the boxes for my preferences or my filters or whatever. So what you're creating here and offering isn't far off from what people are already used to. So that's good, because that means that the learning curve or the barrier to entry won't be completely brand new to people where they're like, what am I supposed to do? What is this for? They'll have like a frame of reference, but it's also niche in the sense that it's specifically for playing outside in the Chicago area. So it's a really nice, as far as I'm simulating it, it's a really nice overlap and a really nice sweet spot there. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, that's, thanks for pointing out Airbnb experiences, because sometimes like a thought that runs through my head is like, aren't I just really going to creep people out that I'm like sending them to very specific places and then like, I'll know where they are maybe, or like, I just don't want to be, but you're right that kind of we've all already acclimated to the idea that you're calling up a stranger and staying in their home and, you know, they know you're there. They could come in at any time. It's their house, you know, so like we've gotten past that hurdle somehow. So thanks.
Yeah, totally. Good point. Yeah. And I mean, just remember, and I'm not trying to like generalize your business idea, but travel agents have been around for a very long time creating itineraries for people. And this is in a different way and a different, you know, local level, but putting together itineraries for people is something that I think people are pretty comfortable with, sourcing that. So, yeah. So, questions, Jess, or thoughts? Like, I just kind of dumped a lot of feedback on you and asked you a bunch of questions. How you doing?
Yeah, well, I guess now I'm kind of thinking about the website, which I still haven't made live yet because I haven't necessarily had a need to. So of course I'm just wanting to like tweak it constantly. but I'm just trying to think about like, okay, so if I'm going to be putting out these surveys, I'm going to be directing people to the website. Like, it's super minimal right now. It's basically just kind of signing up for a newsletter. And I think it would probably be better if I have like a little bit of content on there to start. So it's not just this like phantom address that doesn't hold any value. What do you think about that? Like, is it worth putting in that extra effort and time right now to, I don't know, it's just empty. And I feel kind of weird about putting something empty out there.
Okay. Do you have any pre-written content? I know that that was a goal of yours, I think, back in December.
Yeah, and it never really came. Like, I have first drafts and frameworks, but I don't have anything post-ready.
Okay.
So I definitely want time to pull those together. Just trying to balance everything out right now in terms of like what comes first in the waterfall.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. Do you have Google Analytics set up on your site?
I clicked the box.
That's a start. So I'm asking, it's very, very important as you test, if you're testing something, it's important all the time, I'm learning this too, to have Google Analytics set up, because you want to be able to track people's activity on your site. You want to know if somebody like clicked, how many people clicked this button, but then didn't click through to the next thing. You know, you can get heat maps, there's different things for that. Because what I'm wondering right now, just to zoom out, as it sounds like you are as well, is it necessary for you to have content on your site in order for it to appear legitimate and provide value? What I'm wondering is if it could be like the lean version of it could be like a landing page with like the survey being inbuilt into the homepage, where it's, you know, that's your lead magnet. What if that was your lead magnet? So people arrive on the site and you say, you know, fill out this quick, or give us your responses, quick 30-second response, whatever, to these questions. people fill it out, they put in their email address, and then as their freebie offer, or, you know, what they get in return is maybe three itineraries to places around Chicago that people just never think to go to or don't even know about. So it doesn't even have to necessarily like exactly match their survey at all. But if you had like a 3-sheet PDF, for example, with like photos of the place, description, how the distance from downtown Chicago, the perks of going to this place, which I think based on the fact that you've already done so much research around, about different places around Chicago, you could probably throw something together pretty like quickly. You don't have to make it super fancy. It doesn't have to be an ebook or anything, but like just a quick guide to three places that you people wish they would have known about, or I don't know, it's a horrible headline, but something like that. So that landing page could, if you're testing this on your colleagues, you could get by with something that lean. I'm wondering what in the hierarchy of things with the added value of having a couple of blog posts, if that would help you validate your MVP or not. And I'm not really sensing that it would be super pertinent yet.
Okay.
Really, to like wait on that.
Okay. In terms of having the survey on the landing, mm-hmm. You're talking about just like slapping it right on the landing page or doing like a take this survey button that then, because I feel like there's a little bit of explanation needed on a landing page as to like what.
Sorry. I didn't mean to, yeah. So I would say on your landing page, so do some research about landing pages, right? I know that you research is probably like nails on a chalkboard, that word right now, but take a look at a few different landing pages. Get a sense of what the format is. I mean, MailChimp even has landing page. Like, I think the paid version of MailChimp is $10 a month and they have landing page templates. Lead Pages is $40 a month. They have landing pages. If you're using Elementor, you can create a landing page actually in Elementor. I think they actually have like templates for landing pages in there.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty positive. Then they give you like the template and where the copy goes, where the photos go. So that would be a great way for you to introduce what this is all about. Maybe have some, you know, pain point, follow the copy of the landing pages that you find. It's pretty easy to like swap out, you know, copy text, and then maybe have a couple of statistics. And I wanted to mention to you this to you anyway, I was going to email you this, but I'll just mention it. There's a ton of science coming out in the last couple of years around gigantic benefits of people living in metropolitan areas, getting out into nature, even just once a month, let alone like once every couple of weeks. It's pretty crazy. So, and I'm happy to send you some of the things that I've come across that support that, but those might be, you know, a couple of things that you want to put on your landing page as well as like, you know, links to those articles or headlines or like the benefits of getting out and that you're making it so much easier for people. Like you are removing that barrier to entry for people to get out, have fun, play outside, brings your anxiety down if you're overwhelmed at work, blah, blah, blah. So you might do some copy editing for your landing page and then embed the form somewhere on the landing page. Something I'll also say on a high level for everybody and ever is that split testing things is so important. And it feels really tedious, but it's the most important thing we could ever do, especially in the validation process. So basically what that means is you create a landing page, it's connected to Google Analytics or some way to track the activity on your page, and you test that out. You can actually split test using, I think, MailChimp and Lead Pages. But so you would put maybe embed the survey on the top third of the page, and then on the other one, you would embed the survey on the bottom third of the page or whatever, hypothetically. And, you know, and then you send people the link and the split test sends people to each different one of the two landing pages. So you can start to gather data around like what headlines do people actually click on? What are people actually interested in? Which survey placement, you know, do people engage with more? So
does that the link does that automatically, or do I send out different links to different people?
It depends on what software you're using. I know that Lead Pages, and I'm not like trying to promote them at all. It's just what I know and use. Lead Pages, you create one landing page, and then they have an option to split test it, so you can run a few different split tests. And MailChimp probably does. It sounds like they're pretty far in the game now. And Elementor might as well. It's a pretty common feature for landing pages and squeeze pages and opt-in forms. So if you have any trouble finding out if Elementor offers that, or if you're interested in checking out a different software, let me know. I'm happy to help.
Okay.
So the reason I'm saying that is because embedding the form, the question that you had around, like, should I have a button that says click here to take survey, or should I actually embed the form on the page? That's something that you could split test. You could create a version of the page that is one, version of the page that's other, and then start to see which one people interact with more.
Okay.
So, yeah. There's something intuitive in me, and I could be totally wrong, and this is the fun part about MVPs. There's a part of me that is thinking that I'm imagining myself on a site like this. If the survey was just like right there and I could click my answers right there and be like, oh yeah, I never thought about like a picnic, and like, oh, you know, I would love to bring my dog. I think the barrier to entry is like, again, it's like you're removing them from having to click a button and fill out a survey, which might feel like just an added action. I could be totally wrong about that. But
yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because I hadn't really thought about just putting it up front in center. But that does make a lot of sense. I don't like clicking buttons either. So. So cool. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. So to kind of summarize, hopefully what I'm saying there with my response to your question, landing page with in some super snazzy info about rec region and using copy that captures the pain point or the need, you know. A very simple example would be like, have you wanted to go to a local Chicago park but struggled to figure out which one? You know, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Utilizing some copy, you can test that too. Definitely be testing that for a while, I'm sure. And then I think that you could be fine without having blog posts right away. And then that could be something that you could very easily add to the site from there.
Okay, yeah. Cool. This has been really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions. Totally great questions. One more note on that, if you wanted to, or when you're wanting to get more specific about the market that you're testing, so like after you test your former colleagues and when you're feeling ready to start testing using Facebook or Google, Facebook's probably the best, as much as I need to say it, then that would be when all the research that you've done that's in those charts in element four around like where are your people hanging out? Like what are their psychographics? You know, what are their attributes? Who's your avatar? That's when those assets, if you haven't already done them, but that information, that research data from your process, that's when you'll plug that in. You'll use that in Facebook to target your people.
So. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I think this has been like a question that's been spiraling around a lot for me lately, just like MVP or like more research, and like, don't I need one for the other after a certain point, and then just trying to draw the line there. So it's good to hear that, you know, I can reverse engineer it as well. And that, you know, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad that was helpful. So one thing I just want to for everybody to keep in mind is that it takes a while to gather and validate anything. But if you hypothetically, for some reason, send this out to your colleagues and you get a sample size of 3 responses, do not be disheartened. Please do not be disheartened. Keep testing, and we'll keep working this. We'll keep, you know, testing this in different ways, different avenues, until you can get some statistically valid data around what's working, what's not. But I just want to put that out there because it can happen, or it does sometimes happen, where people are like, oh, let me know when you're launched. I'll totally go to your site, you know, and they'll have the best of intentions. And we send it out and we're like, oh, where is everybody?
Yes.
So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I, thanks for the reminder. And I'm like, just waiting for that to happen. So that's, I think, part of the reason why I'm procrastinating as well, because I know there's going to be parts of this that don't feel good right away. So
yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had better news, but probably a lot. But the good thing is, the silver lining in all of it is, the more we test and we don't get traction, or we don't get any like significant data, we can check that off the list and try something else. Right. And
yeah,
mm-hmm. every no gets us closer to a yes, as cheesy as that sounds. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. And I'm not married to the idea of what the solution is. Like, I feel like I know what the problem is, and I'm willing to adjust to serve in a way that makes sense. And so that's why I don't want to spend like so much time like trying to dig further and further and get super perfect in my mind, because I know, you know, it's going to change. So just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Process.
Great job, Jess. Yeah. Good stuff. Feel free to, you know, email me or reach out to me outside of this if you have any questions based on anything.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Kim, any questions?
That made me ask, think myself, okay, so... When you do the MVP and say, so mine is going to be, so far, it's going to be the meditation affirmation thing. So,
Question. Yes. I just want to make sure we're using the same language. Are you talking about your MVP or are you talking about your lead magnet?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I don't know.
Are you talking about, that's okay. That's what these calls are for. Are you talking about the thing that people sign up for on your website, or are you talking about the actual service that you're providing people?
Okay, on my website, not because what I would be providing would be my free consultation, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what is that? That's a lead magnet?
Yeah. So actually both of those could be considered lead magnets. So basically, that's okay. There's so much jargon around all this stuff. Don't even worry about it. That's
okay.
So your MVP would actually be your... it would be your lead magnet, in the sense that, is there a desire for this kind of coaching? Like, is there a desire for this kind of coaching that people are willing to book a consultation? So that would be an MVP, but really also your MVP at this stage of your business right now is your coaching package. Like, is it something that people want? Does it work? Does it get them results? That's really what the MVP is right now. And then your lead magnet, which I think is what you're talking about, and I'll shut up because I know you have a question, but your lead magnet.
No. I needed that. Okay. So, yes. So if they sign up for, and it's just one thing, then do I have to find the next thing to do and the next thing to do and the next thing to do? Because I had not thought about that.
Okay.
I did, but I didn't. And how often is, because I think we had this conversation before about frequency, but like how often, because I know like the different ones that I've signed up for, it's almost like every day or every other day or twice a week. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is celebrate. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're, go ahead. I think there might be a little time delay here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
If the gap. So was your question around, do you need to have follow-up correspondence after you actually send them the thing?
Yes.
So yes. And there's a variety of different ways and like rules of thumb and reasons for this, but I'll give you like the two intentions that you have in why you're capturing people's emails in the first place.
Right.
One intention is if you are planning on doing a launch, which we'll be talking about in a few weeks in team. If you're planning on, for example, if you have a product or a program, something that you want to be selling, and you're planning a launch for it, which basically means that you are, you're opening a cart and you're closing a cart within about 10 days or 7 days or so for the sale.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of other stuff involved with this, but to keep it very simple, if you are planning on doing a launch, there's a specific communication that happens about 8 to 10 weeks prior to the opening of the cart that nurtures your email list, the people who sign up, and you're giving them extreme value consistently.
Okay.
And increasingly more consistently leading up to the opening of the cart on the launch.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's one case scenario. Another case scenario, which I think where I know is more where you're at right now, is you're building your list, right? You're building your list. Mm-hmm. Point of building a list, multifaceted, but nothing can ever take away the emails addresses that people give you, right? So you can, on a weekly basis, download the CSV of the emails that people have signed up for your products or whatever. And what that means is that you can always contact them. Whereas in Facebook groups or with Instagram or any other app, like if Facebook were to close down tomorrow or kick you out of a group, it happens more than is good.
Right.
You've lost all of your leads. You've lost all of the people that you used to be able to connect with, you know, your customers essentially. So email is really the only way. Email is king, and they've said that for years, and it's, you know, it's kind of resurfacing as being truer than ever because the social media applications are changing so frequently and their rules and regulations are changing so much.
Yeah.
So getting kicked out of their own groups and stuff like that. So when you have someone's email, you have a way to deliver value to them and establish a relationship with them and create rapport with them, with the, I think, ultimate purpose of that being to really serve them in solving whatever their need or desire is and continuing to serve them ongoing. Okay. So your hell yes customers or your hell yes ideal clients are going to be the ones that, you know, they hopped on your list, they got your freebie, and you send them, let's say, an email with a really valuable something, a really valuable tip, a really valuable article, a really valuable video, whatever. As long as it's consistent, it can be once every 2 weeks, it can be once a week, it can be whatever is doable for you. That's the most important thing.
Okay. Cool. Yes.
That consistent drip campaign, it's called, consistent drip campaign into your ideal client's inbox is how you build trust and how you build rapport and how you give them valuable information, whether it's product, service, technology. And then when you've warmed them up, it's called, once they're warm or they're a warm lead, then you can kind of tack something onto the bottom of that email and say, you know, I have this ebook, it's $4.99 or whatever, $27.99, whatever you price it. Mm-hmm. And it goes into way more depth than what I've talked about today in this email, right? So at that point, they trust you. They're like, oh man, Kim has sent me so much valuable stuff in the last month. For sure, I'm going to download her ebook. That sounds amazing. So they download this. Cool. This is where your value ladder starts, right? This is where people start to go up your value ladder. And they read your ebook, which is super, super valuable. And then they're like, oh my gosh. And then when you're ready to sell your coaching program, or you have like a 3-hour virtual workshop or summit day or something like that, then you know, they've already read your ebook. They know that you know what you're talking about. And they're like, yeah, I want to sign up for her workshop. That's $400 or whatever. Right. And so, so on and so forth. Okay. So yes, it's important to nurture your list by sending out valuable stuff.
Okay. Cool. All right. So I guess now I want to know, how do you know when they're warm and when you can add that? Like, is there a corresponding back and forth? Are you waiting till they're like, hey, what you sent, I really needed that. I mean, do you wait till you get those or do they not email back? I mean, because I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, this is great. So through using email software like MailChimp or AWeber or Infusionsoft, whatever, so you can track your clicks and your opens. And this is where things get real fun, is where you're able to look at your campaigns and you're able to look and see who opened what and who clicked through. Maybe you had a link in your email that was like, read the rest of my blog post, and you know, who clicked through. So you can witness the level of engagement that people are interacting with your material. And so a really easy way to tell is who's warm is who clicked all the way through, right? Or who consistently opens your stuff. So that's one way. And then, I mean, that's really, I think, the most important thing is, like, are they consistently opening your correspondence? And then you start to put links in there to gauge click-throughs, and that means they're even warmer if they're clicking through. So that's
on your site.
Yeah, like if in your email, let's say that your weekly newsletter or whatever. Let's say that was like a topic that was actually a blog topic that you had written that's on your website. So you're driving traffic through your email campaign or through your email list, and then you say, to read the rest of this blog post, you know, let's say it's like top three things, and you give them the first top one thing, and then you're like, to find out the next two, click to my blog. So they click, they go to your website, they read your blog, right?
Oh, so gotcha.
That shows you that they're like, yeah, like really engaged, they're really warm, or hot, kind of hot at that point, because they're like, they're doing all the things that you're wanting them to do. So, okay. Yeah, does that help?
Yes, because that is, okay, so that would be yes, that's a lot.
The whole universe and a half.
Oh gosh. Okay, so how do you get them to your email in the first place? That would be through ads, right? Or I mean, how do you get them to your site to sign up email, to put their email address in?
Great question. Yeah. So there's so many ways, and it really depends on what your business is, what you're offering, who your people are, where they hang out.
Okay.
Facebook is still where a lot of, I think, your and my target market hang out. Yeah. LinkedIn.
And Pinterest, they said too.
Pinterest, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I just read about Pinterest that you can add information to the images that you have to make them click on and get the information about your business. I did not know that they did that. So much.
Yeah. So to answer your question, or to just speak to it, it takes some testing. It definitely takes some testing, getting yourself in front of your people, right? So however you can get yourself in front of your people, do that. So whether that's in-person events or whether that's joining groups on Facebook and just making valuable contributions to the conversation, people start to notice. There's a couple of podcasts that I posted a couple months ago in the group about that. But yeah, basically wherever your people are hanging out, provide value, answer their questions, help their pain points, like put the band-aids on their, you know, their whatever, wherever they're losing blood in their lives.
How about, what do you think about Facebook business pages?
That's great. Yeah. If your people are hanging out on Facebook, then having a Facebook page is important, I would say. And you can post there regularly, post like valuable, you know, articles or little, you know, snippets or memes, right? Like the beautiful picture with the quotes or whatever.
All right. I think I'm going to start there. I was researching it yesterday, or 2 days ago, and I was like, thank you. I'm sorry for like 5,000 questions at one time, but
that was great. Totally. Obviously I love talking about all this stuff. I know we're a little bit over time, but I don't mind. And these are really, really important things to be asking. So yeah. Any lingering questions, ladies? I've got another 5 minutes or so before I need to hop off.
I'm just, did you, Fawn, ever utilize like an email drip campaign that, that Kim is describing? Like, what was your process? We found each other on Thumbtack, which was an awesome way to connect. But like, what other methods did you use to find your clients?
Yeah, so I'm super unorthodox and made some decisions along the way that are kind of like not against the grain, but like definitely kind of deviate from the standard, like what I'm sharing with you ladies right now, for example. Looking back, I probably would have done things differently in a couple of ways, but so when I started out, I started to build my list. I used MailChimp. I had a couple of lead magnets. I used Facebook ads. I was pretty active on my Facebook business profile. I was really utilizing that for a while. And then I just had a lot of clarity points and shifts in terms of how I wanted to build things. And that's also when my mentor introduced me to Thumbtack. So this was like 4 years ago or something like that. And so when I started using Thumbtack, I realized that the ROI for me in terms of my time and energy and approach, Thumbtack was helping me validate my coaching modality and then helping me validate life on purpose and like my coaching approach in general much, much, much faster and more effectively than building my list and then trying to sign clients, like warming my clients up and then signing the clients. Like that was like, it works. And I'm about to do that with my team. We're building a gigantic system right now. It's insane. But when I was starting out, Thumbtack, or a couple years into it, Thumbtack was just like incredibly efficient and like insane ROI. And I was like, why isn't anybody else doing this? And I felt like I kind of like had this little, you know, this amazing thing that was working. So I've stuck with that for the purpose of building this tribe and for the purpose of building life on purpose and validating the materials in there. To me personally and professionally, validating what I'm doing and creating a base of amazing women who are in this together as a tribe, to me felt more important than just like building a list so I could sell my stuff, like personally. And I'm not saying it's the right way, but that's just the way that felt most aligned with me in the process. So for a few years, that's why I'm like, I know all of this stuff and I can talk about it at length and I see it working all the time, but I haven't implemented it because I've been kind of focusing in a different direction. But I'm going to be like right there alongside you ladies in the next couple of weeks and months for sure, as like it's about to go pretty, pretty crazy in really great ways. As I actually implement, like I just signed up for Infusionsoft, which is like the gigantic, or Keep is what it's called now, but the gigantic mama bear of client management and funnels and email list campaigns. Like it's huge. So my team's getting that set up. We're going to go pretty big in 2020, but I wouldn't have, just didn't feel aligned to do that before, I guess.
So. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And especially, like, as you said, as you're building like an intentional tribe, to just kind of put it out publicly feels like it would be a lot of work to suss people out. Whereas if you're kind of specifically targeting one-on-one on a platform that allows you to do that, like get a little bit of an insight before you get into the conversation, seems like it would be super valuable. So yeah, it's just interesting to hear. And I was curious if you had done the email campaigns like early on and then transitioned, or yeah. So thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Sure. Cool. All right. Any lingering questions before we hop off of?
Just one.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I build all of that gradually? Like, can I get on, develop a Facebook page, have all my information on there, and like just post, like you were talking about, different things? Or should I have my email campaign set up already?
Let me think about that one for a moment.
And then that means my MVP would have to be set up.
Lead magnet. So,
yeah, lead magnet.
Yes. So the sooner you can start building your list, the better.
Okay.
I think, yeah, for your purposes right now. Because having likes on Facebook is great. But like I was mentioning a moment ago, when you have someone's email address, you can start to cultivate a relationship with them.
Okay.
So what you might do, so the Facebook, trying to think about how we could like kill multiple birds. I hate that phrase, but kill multiple birds with one stone. You could post on Facebook. I think it's good to have like portion, like write an article, like a blog post, right? And It doesn't have to be long. It can be laser. People really appreciate laser stuff these days, or video, what have you. You can post it on Facebook. Okay. You can say like, you know, click here to read more, or go to my website to read more, or watch the video I just recorded about this. Send people to your site somehow, some way. And then On your site, you have your lead magnet, that's the meditation or what have you. So when people go to your site, to your blog, they see your lead magnet, they can download that. And on their way to the blog, or you can even have the opt-in form on the blog page that's, you know, download the meditation or whatever it is. So all roads should lead to people giving you their email addresses so that you can deliver them value and nurture that relationship.
Okay. So do make sure I have that in place before I do the Facebook page.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hesitant to say like,
I know,
rigid about it, but I think having your lead magnet is going to be great, because people can actually like say, yes, here's my email address, Kim, please send me stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it's no use in sending them there if there's not something tangible for them to.
Depends on who you ask. There's use in it because they're going to your site, and that's great. Like there's nothing, it's only good that comes from people going to your site, because they're
right. But I can't track anything or.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
It's like sending someone to the grocery store without money or something like that. Like maybe they'll go and they'll
give
you all the options, but they can't buy anything.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay.
Oh, ladies, I know. I'm right there with you. Thanks for hanging in here with Office Hours. These questions are amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to be getting into the granularity of this stuff in upcoming elements when we start talking about like funnels, when we're talking about lean methodology and stuff like that. So, you know, 3 months from now, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I totally got this down. So I just want you to know you're exactly where you need to be. You're totally good. Like it's a process.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Feel free to post any
things
or thoughts in the team group, and otherwise have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the extra time.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.